Welcome to the Capital Connection, a weekly program questioning New York State leaders on a variety of issues. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution for the Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Chartok. This week, it's our favorite columnist and Albany bureau chief for the New York Daily News. He's been a staple of this program, Ken Lovett. Ken joins us this week to bring us up to date on all the exciting political news. Welcome back, Ken.
It's good to be back.
Okay, let's start with Franz Kafka, the trial. Okay, everybody's been waiting for this trial. Prococo and Todd Howe. It is so interesting. The problem for many of the people who expected this trial to be big stuff is that it's not as big as we thought because Trump is sucking all the air out of the room.
Absolutely. I think if you're paying attention, there's a lot of interesting stuff coming out of it. But who is paying attention? That's going to be the question, especially in this election year, because there's enough stuff coming out that could hurt the governor politically if people were watching. And the Republicans have been trying, but not as aggressively as I thought, to put it out there. But so far, we haven't seen any polls since the trial started, but I've got to wonder how many people are actually zoned in day in and day out into it.
Nor do the Republicans seem to have a candidate. I interviewed John DeFrancisco, nice enough man, but the fact of the matter is he's a political conservative. It's a Trump year in New York State. He's from Syracuse. He's unknown. Andrew has $30 million in the bank. This is going to be a very tough road for him.
It's going to be a tough road for any Republican. Yes. You know, you've got a governor whose poll numbers, at least till now, have been solid, if not great, but solid. Like you said, $30 million in the bank. He's accomplished a number of progressive things that he hopes will thwart any kind of real Democratic primary. And for the Republicans, it is an uphill battle. However, DeFrancisco went down to the trial on Thursday today and basically said the governor's got a lot to answer for and should appear before the press like Chris Christie did with Bridgegate and answer all questions that are put to him, no matter how long it takes. But the governor has been out of sight, and when he has taken questions, his stock reply is, "It's an ongoing trial. It wouldn't be appropriate for me to comment," so he will not comment on any of the details that have come out.
And so far, Ken Lovett, that strategy is working. We're not hearing much negative stuff. Oh, the New York Post may take a shot, but we're not hearing much negative stuff. A lot of people had expected this was going to be a negative turning point in Andrew's career. We haven't seen that.
But there is, I don't disagree, but there is a lot of stuff coming out. For instance, Joe Prococo, who's on trial, his close aide, who he called his father's third son at Mario Cuomo's, when he delivered Mario Cuomo's eulogy. Prococo, apparently, even after leaving the state payroll, was allowed to continue coming in using his state swipe card. He was making call after call from his old office. Why was he there? Was he doing political work? Was he doing state government work, even though he wasn't on the payroll anymore? Either way, that's not a good thing and against public officers code. We heard that there were members of the Cuomo administration, his former state op director, Howard Glazier, who was close to Todd Howe, who's the prosecutor's star witness. Glazier apparently was the one who told Todd Howe, "Don't register as a lobbyist." You know, there's a whole range of things that have come out that you would think would be bigger. But like you said, I don't know if people are paying attention given what's going on in Washington.
So where's the big one? You know, the whole idea here was that Todd Howe, who's now out in the West waiting his sentencing, he's going to go to jail, that's for sure. He's the big witness for the prosecution, it's not going well for him. They're painting him as a lout who's had a career in lying. And his lawyer says, "I have to tell him. He has to tell the truth," and all of that. And then what are the accusations? The accusations is he got a job for somebody who was he got Prococo to get a job for somebody who was connected. Well, if you put everybody in prison, whoever got a job for a family friend or anybody else in order to get ahead, there's got to be somebody on that jury who is going to say that doesn't rise to what I consider to be a huge problem.
Well, and did he sell the office? Did he give favors to get his wife a not a no-show job, but what they're calling a low-show job where she showed up but not a lot? Did Prococo trade favors for that? That's what he's accused of. Did he accept bribes from Core Development, a Syracuse company, in exchange for trying to help projects for them move forward? Well, according to the Supreme Court in the former Virginia Governor Bob McDonnell's trial, which really narrowed what you can bring in terms of corruption, you have to show that an official act was taken in exchange for a favor. And that'll be the question. Did they show that Prococo was able to deliver an official act in exchange for all this stuff?
So, Ken, even I'm following along on what you're saying, which I totally agree with. Even if he's found guilty by a hanging jury, they're going to still have to face what Silver has faced in his trial and everybody else, which is the official acts problem, and it could well be overturned.
It could be. And, you know, let's see what evidence comes out. I mean, in this case, we've had emails and collusion with various people. Obviously, some of it looks shady, but whether or not it's illegal, that's the question. You know, Joe Prococo used saying to Todd Howe, who was a lobbyist. Now, for people who don't know who Todd Howe was, he was a guy who started with Mario Cuomo. He worked for Andrew Cuomo when Andrew Cuomo was the HUD secretary under Bill Clinton. So it's a close family friend for years, although it became Todd Who when he was indicted on Andrew's part. But Howe is a lobbyist who did not register as a lobbyist, supposedly because of one of Cuomo's aides or soon-to-be aides told him not to register, which would be a no-no. But Howe knows a lot of stuff, and he helped get money for Prococo through various means. And Prococo, using a line from The Sopranos, was calling it ZD. You know, I need the ZD. I need more ZD. You know, things are running low. Where's the ZD? I mean, it really did sound like a Sopranos episode.
It is so interesting. But there's a big difference, for example, Ken, between getting somebody a no-show job. No-show means you get paid for not doing any work. Or a, quote, low-show job. Low-show means you show up. Hey, how many people in America show up for jobs that they don't do very well?
Yeah, there is, and we're going to see. I mean, you know, the trial's still going on. They're certainly hammering Todd Howe. He gave up a lot of stuff early on, and then yesterday, Wednesday, when the cross-examination started, they just went through a litany of scams and schemes and illegalities that he's been involved with, involving friends, landlords, lawyers.
Even his own law firm.
His own law firm, you know, family, you name it, he scammed them, and he admitted to it. And they said, I thought the first question was, are you a liar? And he basically said, not today.
That's pretty funny. Okay, so we'll have to stay tuned, Ken Lovett, for what comes out of this trial. But if I were the judge right now, a judge, not of the judge sitting there, but a judge of how it's going, I don't think it's going all that well for the prosecution.
Well, we're going to see. It's always hard when you're not in the room.
Yeah.
I think you don't know what a jury's going to do. But certainly we've seen a lot of hung juries of late and non-convictions in these political corruption cases. And when there have been convictions, they've been overturned by the Supreme Court or a higher or appeals court. So
the appeals courts where the judges may be saying there, but for the grace of God, go I. So let's go on to other New York State news. And we're talking about taxes. Now, New York State is up the creek without a paddle. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, the new federal tax plan, the governor says and others have said, Mayor de Blasio in New York City, is going to hurt the state by hurting the property tax values of people, they argue. Really what the issue is what's called the SALT deduction, the state and local taxes deduction. And for years, since really there's been a federal income tax, you've been able to deduct your income taxes and your property taxes, state and local income taxes, from your federal. That's been changed now in the new federal tax bill. So now, instead of being able to do that, you can deduct a total of up to $10,000. which really is going to impact mostly the rich. And it is kind of funny to hear de Blasio and Cuomo arguing that this is going to hurt the rich, since especially de Blasio has been pushing for a millionaire's tax. But he says he and Cuomo have said this could drive rich people out of here, and they're looking for ways to circumvent the law.
And it will. I know all kinds of people, journalists and others who have moved out of New York State. You know, they go to Florida, they stay there for 7 months as opposed to 6 months or whatever else, and then they don't have to pay the exorbitant New York taxes compared to the Florida taxes.
Absolutely, absolutely. That is a big issue. And, you know, the governor has talked about a tipping point and that he's going to sue over this, although most people do not believe that lawsuit has a chance. But he's also going to come up with a plan, he says, which could be unveiled as soon as next week, to try and circumvent it by changing the tax code for New York. So
how do they do that? I mean, it seems to me I've heard all of this malarkey, you know, up to now, and it is malarkey. I've talked to the top economic guys in the state, and they all say it won't work.
It's going to be really difficult. What the governor has in mind, and I don't even know if he can get it passed, especially by the end of the budget negotiations, which are due to conclude by the end of March. But what the governor has in mind is really two things that he's looking at. The main one is reducing New Yorkers' reliance on the income tax, and instead, which is paid for by individuals, and instead creating basically a tax that would be paid by employers. But what that would mean is to keep everyone where they're not losing any money, you would actually have to reduce the salaries of people so they can bring home the same take-home pay.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine there's going to be a lot of people who want to reduce their salaries, even if they're going to take home the same amount of money, because that impacts your Social Security. It impacts when you go for your next job. There's a lot of issues. It's very, very complicated. And I don't know. There hasn't been a lot of interest, especially among the Republican state Senate.
I want to talk to you for a moment about something that just piques my interest. It may not be that important, but it is that actress Diane Neal, late of Law and Order, SVU, she lives in an upstate community called Hurley, wants an independent bid for the 19th congressional district seat. This is the kiss of death for the Democrats, right? If she runs, she's a progressive, soon to be a Harvard graduate, and she's going to run as an independent, certainly going to take votes away from whoever the Democrat is.
Yeah, you would think. I mean, John Faso, who is the freshman incumbent Republican congressperson there right now, is seen as very vulnerable, one of really two or three in New York.
He must be rejoicing right now at this news.
And that would be. I mean, although, you know, look, we saw in Syracuse had an independent one for mayor, but I think it would make it much tougher for the Democrats if there is a separate independent.
Yeah, well, one has to really try to do a little bit of a armchair psychoanalysis and say, what would make somebody who is committed to leveling the playing field in the United States Congress almost assure that the Republican would win?
Well, you know, I think we have seen that for a lot of progressives, they don't necessarily care about that in the
sense. Are you thinking Ralph Nader, perhaps?
I'm thinking Ralph Nader. I'm thinking Jill Stein, who, you know, people voted for her because they did not like Hillary. Democrats voted for her.
I interviewed all of them.
And I think that in that regard, they have shown that they would rather be pure ideologically
and lose
than win with someone they don't think is pure. Well, that's part of the left's problem with the governor, by the way. Even though he may be doing a lot of the things they want him to do, they don't believe in his heart. He really believes it, and thus they don't like him.
That's a very interesting point, because we have actress Cynthia Nixon, another actress. Tell us about her.
Cynthia Nixon, who's probably best known for Sex and the City on HBO, you know, a famous actress. She has been named as a possible Democratic primary opponent for the governor. And she's kind of teased it over the last few months. For a while, she just said, people have told me that they're interested in me considering it. And more recently, she said maybe when asked if she is going to bring a challenge. She is an activist. She has been big on gay rights issues. And she's also been big on public school issues. And she believes that the governor has underfunded needy public schools, that he hasn't followed a lawsuit result that was handed down years ago, even before he was governor. And so that's been a big issue for her. Whether she's using a threatened bid to leverage more, you know, more money for the needy schools, or whether she's seriously considering it, we'll find out soon enough. But
she's a third choice. Maybe she just wants to get her name out there.
There's that too.
So let me then go on to another thing that is just fascinating. So, as you know, Andrew Cuomo's brother, Chris Cuomo, is a big, CNN guy. He's on in the mornings. He's on at night. He sounds like the governor. He looks like the governor.
He looks better than the governor.
Well, he does look. He does look better than the governor. And he does even sound a little bit better than the governor. He's cleaned up his act a little bit more. And now, when questioned about whether or not by Cuomo... And now he says on one of his programs, I do believe that their party is not moving towards the center, it's moving towards the left, and I don't know that there's room for a Cuomo or a Biden in terms of where that party is going right now. What do you think?
I was surprised he said it, given all the talk about the governor possibly running in 2020 for president, but I don't think he's necessarily wrong. Certainly the party is moving more to the left, and the governor is trying to get to the left, but he's seen more as a centrist. So I think there's an issue there, and, you know, there's a split within the Democratic Party. Some people have suggested, perhaps, that this was Andrew Cuomo's first step toward not running and having his brother put it out there like that. I don't know if I would go that far quite yet, but you never know.
I wouldn't. No, I think he wants to run for president. I think his father was denied that. He couldn't do it. I think he'd like to do it. It does raise a lot of questions about what CNN would do with Chris Cuomo if his brother were running for president. But I have to say, my own sense of this is, there's a huge difference between a Biden, which was thrown in here, and a Cuomo. I don't know people who love Cuomo. I don't know people who like Cuomo. He's got a lot of money. He's got a lot of, you know, Hollywood literati and all of that. But people adore Biden.
They do adore Biden. And Biden is also known nationally.
Yeah.
You know, Cuomo really, in a lot of ways, would be starting from scratch. People in New York may know him, but people in Iowa, I'm not sure, know who Andrew Cuomo is. I'm not sure how much I remember Mario Cuomo, frankly. I mean, his big speech was 1984. That's 34 years ago.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, Joe Biden, if he got in, starts with a base, a national base. Andrew Cuomo would have to start building a base, and that's not easy to do.
That's why I love having you on the show, Ken Lovett, because you and I agree on so many things. But let's talk about Ed Cox and Carter Page. What's that all about?
Supposedly, it was Ed Cox who introduced Carter Page to President Trump. And
so let's remember a couple of things, because people, it's so confusing. Mm-hmm. Who's Carter Page again?
Carter Page is someone who says he never met Donald Trump, but is involved supposedly in a lot of what has been going on and what's being looked into, the investigations. And recently he said he never met Trump, and it sounded kind of like Andrew Cuomo saying he never met Todd Howe or didn't really know who Todd Howe was.
Who?
Exactly. So.
But I have an affection for Ed Cox. I have to be honest mm-hmm. with you. Poor guy has worked around. He's been Richard Nixon's son-in-law for his most of his entire life. But he's always been honest and comes on this show a lot. He's always been good. So what is that relationship between Cox and Page?
They know each other. I honestly don't know as much about that relationship other than they know each other, and that Cox supposedly introduced him to Trump during the campaign. So
if there were bad things happening, Cox might have to carry that along with this decapitated Republican Party along on his shoulders.
And I'm pretty sure Ed Cox would say, I had no idea if those things actually happened, that they were going on. And I can't say I necessarily don't believe him on that. So
Ken Lovett, I always ask you this question. Tell us about the so-called traitors, that group of Democrats who have been working with the Republicans, some of whom have primaries now. What's the likelihood that the Democrats in the Senate will all get together?
I think it's going to be difficult. You know, the hope was, you know, the governor's allies and the governor put forward a proposal that would try and get them together after the budget. And
but of course, we don't know if the, I'm sorry for interrupting you, but we don't know if the governor is full of it or not.
Well, no. And honestly, though, he's taken so much heat on it, he certainly had to look like he was doing something on it.
But he's good at that.
But it's gotten even more murkier now because of the allegation against Jeff Klein, a Bronx Democrat who heads the breakaway group known as the Independent Democratic Conference.
Or the Traitors.
And one of his former staffers accused Klein of forcibly kissing her. He vehemently denies it. He believes that
his girlfriend was standing right there, another senator, right?
Inside the bar, yeah. But he vehemently denies it, and they believe that it was the Senate Democrats, that they believe this was a political hit by the mainline Democrats, something, of course, the mainline Democrats deny. And so I think that made it a lot more difficult to reconcile. I think in all likelihood, you're going to see primaries and potentially some IDC members could go. Do I think Klein will go? Probably not, although he has a challenger. But I think there are vulnerable ones, whether it's David Carlucci in Rockland County, whether it's Marisol Alcantara in Upper Manhattan or in Queens, Jose Peralta. I think there are at least three or four who could go. And if that does happen, you might see the end of the IDC.
So now let's talk a little bit about the relationship between de Blasio and the governor. We know these guys hate each other's guts now. I think it's pretty well established. Now, de Blasio has to come hat in hand up to Albany because we're about to do a budget. So what happens?
De Blasio came up. He actually met with the governor for an hour, 20 minutes. I don't know if anything behind closed doors. He said it was a good meeting. They didn't get into specifics. I'm sure it was really comfortable given how much they love each other. And that is sarcasm, if you haven't been. But he came
I've been
up
in that room. They give you coffee and a chocolate chip cookie. I can say that much.
He came up and, you know, he did what a mayor does. He asked for more money. He came out against a number of the governor's proposals. He defended his handling of the and his appointees' handling of the New York City Housing Authority, which has been really controversial. And he defended his handling and criticized the governor over the issue of the MTA and the subways. You know, they've been fighting. The governor says the city has to pay more toward it, and the city says it's run by the state and they have to pay for it. And that's really probably the key argument in the coming budget negotiations, that and congestion pricing.
We only got a minute, but ethics reform? We're going to see anything like ethics reform in this state legislature?
I would be really surprised.
Me too.
We didn't see any when all the indictments came down on the legislative leaders. I'm not sure that the trials are going to cause any this year.
It's a disgrace, isn't it?
It's surprising. You know, they say they've done enough. And John Flanagan said the fact that we're having all these trials this year, one a month for the first 6 months, means the system's working.
And that's what DeFrancisco, who wants to run for governor, has told me on this show. But let me ask you whether or not there is an ethics, any push for ethics at all, any reform anywhere, or is it just going to always be disgusting?
Probably the latter. Yeah. You hope better people are elected who will follow the laws. I mean, you know, I remember when Andrew Cuomo was attorney general, he was asked that at one point. He said, eventually it comes down to having honest people in office. And, you know, there's a lot of things you could talk about, you know, professional politicians as opposed to people come up here for a short period of time. You could also talk about the pay that hasn't been raised in 20 years. And some of these guys feel and women feel, you know what, I want to get mine. I'm not getting any money. I haven't had a raise in 20 years. And they end up doing things they shouldn't do.
Tough noogies, that's what I got to say. Our guest has been columnist and Albany Bureau Chief for the New York Daily News, Ken Lovett. Ken, you're an amazing repository of information about the way things are in Albany. We are so indebted to you for joining us. Thanks so much for doing it.
Thank you.
The Capital Connection is distributed with the cooperation of the public radio stations of New York State. David Gustina is the producer of The Capital Connection, a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio in Albany. Support for The Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.